Hi, my name is Sandy Kozlowski with Building Blocks of Recovery, and this is Building Blocks of Recovery Radio.
You know, you've spent the time to be in recovery, we've spent the time to do all of the right things, and yet sometimes joy still eludes us. This radio show and this book are all about how we can share our experience, strength, and hope on how to find joy and what being in long-term recovery is and why it can be such a struggle. I'm grateful that you're here, and I'm looking forward to hearing how I can be of service to you and your recovery, and thank you for being a part of mine.
Well, hello, and happy Monday. This is Sandy Kozlowski with Building Blocks of Recovery Radio on Blog Talk Radio, and I am so happy to be here this morning. You know, this afternoon. I have to tell you, I really love starting my Mondays with this show. Actually, I don't really start my Mondays with this show. I start my Mondays working and teaching yoga at an men's inpatient treatment center in Shelton, Washington. And I have to tell you, I simply love doing it. I love talking about all of the positive aspects of recovery. By the way, I just saw today that after Rob Lowe is celebrating a quarter of a century in recovery. That's amazing. I don't know how many of you remember, but we thought that we were going to watch him really crash and go downhill. So congratulations to Rob Lowe. And I don't know how many of you remember the whole Robert Downey Jr. thing. He was very sick for a long time, and he's doing well. And so we need to maybe hold out some hope and prayer for Lindsay Lohan. She unfortunately made the news again this week. I don't understand this, but in 3 years, she did not complete her community service. She's only done, I think, like 10 hours, and she had 125 to do. So we can still pray for her. Kind of ties into our episode today about how to be an individual within a community. You know, I think it's really, really interesting that when you first get sober, whether you go to AA or NA, what you will hear will be people oftentimes that will tell you to sit down and shut up and learn. And it almost can sound and feel like what is happening is that we're trying to get people to become automatons, recovery automatons. That's actually not it. Let's go back to the disease of addiction. Addiction is a disease of perception. And I don't know about you, but I had to be pretty sick to have some of the perceptions that I had. So the reason that they tell us that to sit down and be quiet is not only do we have a disease of perception, but we also are we also need to learn how to discipline the mind and start to care about other people again. The disease of addiction is also very isolating. What I really love about yoga, other than only everything, what I really love about yoga and the yoga experience is that yoga is an awful lot like walking into the rooms of recovery. There you are on your mat, and it's a pretty isolating spot. It is all about you on that mat. And yet you're within a community, and so you learn, quote-unquote, the rules of the community. You can still do individual yoga, but within that community. So how do we do that? How do we kind of start breaking that codependency of my pose needs to look just like the pose of the person next to me, or maybe I shouldn't be in this yoga class because I'm too whatever. Too fat, too thin, too disabled, too able. Whatever reason that we think we should, quote unquote, should not be in a yoga class. And so when you compare the two, what we were talking about this morning in the yoga class was how being on the yoga mat can really help me in my program of recovery and taking my program of recovery the rest of the way. So first of all, how do we learn to stop apologizing for who we are? If you've been listening to the show for some time, you know that we have been walking through the chakras and through some good information. And in just a very few moments, I'm going to share some other information that I hope you're going to find helpful. And so I'm really, really excited about that for you and to share with you. So anyway, how do we start to stop apologizing and begin to really look at who we're being within a community? First things first, you need to show up in that community. So if you are home and you're not going anywhere, guess what? Your community never builds. I remember the day that I was sitting there, and it was in the days when, and I don't even know if this is true anymore because my life is so different from what it once was, where it was kind of like Maury and Jerry Springer. Yes, I used to watch him. Jerry Springer and Ricky Lake and all of those folks on. And I used to watch them hour after hour after hour. And then I remember the day that I realized, one of the days that I began to wake up until I got my way to into the rooms of recovery, that when I first started waking up was, I remember looking at the TV screen one day and thinking, none of these people are going to show up at my funeral. Like, none of these people know I exist. And that was kind of an interesting perspective. None of these people will care about me and know that I exist. And so that's how I learned how to start getting up. Sometimes in the rooms of recovery, you'll hear people say, suit up and show up. And that's one of the ways that we can start breaking some codependency, is to first put ourselves in relationship. And in the beginning, it's easy to sit in the back of the room and just watch. Well, and then you start to learn how to talk. Here's something that there is a nod to this philosophy in the Big Book. When Bill W. talks about going to business functions and he, where there was alcohol and, you know, not much has changed from the time that Bill W. wrote the book of Alcoholics Anonymous to today, business functions always seem to have alcohol with them. Anyway, Bill was talking about still needing to go to business functions and how his method of doing that was, which is he would go to the function, and if he noticed that he was paying a lot of attention to the alcohol, he would go in and he would do his business and leave. And make sure that his serenity stayed intact. The stuff we're talking about today is what we are talking about is serenity. We're not talking about sobriety today. Sobriety is in the first few steps. What I'm going to propose to you is that if we are in recovery, we no longer wait until we are on the verge of relapse. We wait until we're on the... And relapse meaning use. What we do is we wait and we notice the first moment that our serenity has been rocked. That's when we step up. That's when we engage. So how do we do that? A friend of mine many, many years ago now taught me a phrase that I really like. I want to share it with you. He said, I like who I am when I'm with you. And that phrase was so stunning to me that from that day to this, I still use that phrase as my litmus test of not only people, but places and things. Do I like who I'm being? I have to tell you, that was the beginning of breaking codependency for me. I started noticing how I was being with other people. And I realized, oh, when I'm with this person, I don't like the choices I'm making and who I'm choosing to be. So then I gave myself the opportunity to make different choices. I hope that that is a good beginning for you. What I always believe is I have no interest in you just stopping your behavior because I'm going to tell you what to do. all of Building Blocks of Recovery is written in the spirit of mindfulness. We ask I ask you questions, and then I step back, and I trust that you have the information that you need to have to be able to move forward in your program of recovery. So I'm going to ask you, can you apply the phrase, I like who I am when I'm with you, in every situation? If you can't apply that phrase of, yes, I do like who I'm being, then guess what? And here's the hardest part, which is why it took us so many steps to get to this spot. If you're joining me and you're new to the program, please know it does take a few weeks to get to the spot I'm talking about. But it is where we stop apologizing. You know, apologizing, for me, means somebody has to be wrong. Either you're wrong or I am. But what if I just don't want to be around that person anymore? What if I just don't want to hang around them anymore? Is that okay? Do I have to make them wrong or do I have to make me wrong? Actually, neither one. And if I'm apologizing, then I know I shouldn't be there. Because who is the apology really for, them or me? Oftentimes, when we need to say, sorry, 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 what we're really doing is we're saying, I'm sorry, I can't be who I am right now. So that's a couple of tips on helping to begin to break codependency in a relationship. Now let's talk about, actually, I'm going to pause that conversation for a second, and I want to tell you a few super exciting things. I am super excited about it. I have been working really hard to get you some new and beautiful materials. So Building Blocks of Recovery, the deluxe edition, is now available on Amazon.com. What that it is a huge book, and it has, it's completely different and yet totally the same as my first edition. What Building Blocks of Recovery, the deluxe edition, is not only do we have beautiful pictures, beautiful color in the book, lovely quotes, the recipes and the yoga poses that you've come to know, but I also added in journal pages. Really excited about the journal pages and a coloring mandala at the end of each chapter. And a few more things. And in this book, too, I added the 12-step philosophies. I think you're going to start to see the more that you and I get to know each other, the more that we work together, you're going to really see how the chakras and psychology development, those things that Bill W. had no idea about, but then they work within the 12-step program. Super excited about that, and that is why I put together the beautiful deluxe edition. Sometimes you might be saying to me, Sandy, I wasn't in a NICU when I was a baby, or I didn't have that happen when I was 12. What I want you to do then is I want you to read the affirmations that are in each chapter and then go back and tell me how you feel. The second book is one that is not in color and does not have the journal pages in it, but is available in black and white and also for the Kindle, Building Blocks of Recovery, the second. And once again, it is beautiful. It is completely redesigned, as in the 12-step work. I'm really excited and think that this is going to be the one that you are going to absolutely be able to use as a tool. So it is available on Amazon, Building Blocks of Recovery, the second edition, and also available on the Kindle. And if you buy the Kindle edition, we also have Building Blocks of Recovery, the journal pages. So if you bought the Kindle edition, but you're interested in only the journal is beautiful. Once again, I really wanted to just love on you through recovery. So this is my gift to you as far as nurturing all of the time and effort that I put into this. I thought about you. So the journal pages are beautiful color. Affirmations are in there. The rose mandala is in there. And anything else that you would want to have in there. So you can just write and write and write your love letter of healing to yourself. so excited. All of these are available on Amazon.com, soon to be available on my webpage, buildingblocksofrecovery.com. Also, I'm developing an app. That app should be available for both on iTunes and Google Play Store by next time we talk. So I'm super excited about that. It is my honor to be able to work with you and for you. And so I'm really excited to be bringing these tools as accessible to you as I can. Today, just before the show, I was taking a look and I found this beautiful phrase. And then we're going to talk about how to be an individual within a community. Once again, beautiful phrase, how to begin. Rebuilding a life from within. Love yourself unconditionally. Release your bottled up emotions. Make time for long walks alone. Avoid living beyond your means. Nurture your inner strength. Stop apologizing for being you. Surround yourself with positive people. Embrace your situation, whatever it may be. Love yourself unconditionally is so important. I think it's easy to love what other people say they love about us, our personality, our laugh, our eyes, or whatever. It's really hard to love our mistakes, but until we can accept and love our mistakes, we can't possibly begin to truly love ourselves. And here's a hint and a side note. If we can't truly love ourselves, we can't really be in community. Release your bottled up emotions. For many weeks now, we've been talking about that we're going to be who and what we are today, and we're going to work from where we are. Make time for long walks alone, or I'm going to say your yoga practice. Make time for that, even if it's 5 minutes, 10 minutes, as long as you're coming back to yourself. Avoid living beyond your means. You know, I was really thinking about this one. And what's really funny is the longer that I do this work, the less stuff I want to buy. It's kind of funny. It's almost like I woke up and I'm a different person. I'm noticing that I'm reducing, reusing, and recycling more. And I don't think it's because I'm just part of a community. This time where everybody is suggesting that. I really do believe that it's because I'm starting to realize that I am a person on the planet and to live more gently on the planet. Nurture your inner strength. This goes back to what we started talking about on the show in the beginning when we were talking about, I like who I am when I'm with you. I don't tend to spend time on things where I'm not supported for who I am and what I am. And I don't put my, I want you to hear this clearly, I don't tend to put myself in situations where I am not loved and valued. I nurture my inner strength. Self-apologizing for being you. Actually, if you have to apologize for being who you are, you're hanging around the wrong people. And there's some shame associated with that. And you were put here to be a blessing. You were put here to do something specific. You were not put here as an accident. And surround yourself with positive people. I tend to surround myself with people who are serious about their recovery. I don't tend to surround myself with people who have no interest in recovery. I tend to surround myself with people who accept me just as I am. And I can easily accept them for who they are. Embrace your situation, whatever it may be. That is that acceptance piece. You know, acceptance and condoning are two different things. For example, a few years ago, the person whose house we were living in came suddenly and said, yeah, we don't want you living here anymore, and gave us 20 days to move out, and we had nowhere to go. And my kids and I did graciously find a place to go, and we were very grateful for that. But I could have spent all of my time obsessing and arguing with that landlord, or I could accept what happened and move forward. That's what we need to decide. Can we accept what happens and move forward, stay in the solution, not in the problem? This is a stage that Dr. Maslow talks about. It's a little bit higher than self-actualization, which is really accepting oneself and moving within your dharma. This is actually transcendence. So this is where we're going, actually past the ego and more in service to others. I heard a speaker this past weekend say, people say, I'm sorry, I wish I could do more. And he talked very specifically about how ridiculous that is. If you really wish you could do more, then do it. Woo! Did I really just say that? I'm going to say it again. If you really wish you could do more, then do it. Did you hear how that apology was in there? Don't apologize. If you are happy with the gift that you are giving, then it is enough. If you want to give more, then do that. But don't apologize for who you are and what you're doing. Also, when you begin to work on a level of interdependence, you're going to find, and when you get very good at defining your needs, you're going to realize that the people around you are going to accept who you are. Some of those people, for me, I'm related to by blood. Others of that are my family of heart. I hate to say that, you know, I gotta be honest with you. I have some cousins that I have tried and tried and tried to be friends with all these years because we all loved my great-grandmother very, very much. And I've really tried to stay friends with these people. And they do this whole weird, I'm not talking to you anymore because they didn't like that you liked that post, and they'll delete me for a while, and then they block me, and then they unblock me, and I realize, you know, I'm sad that we can't work together to really build a community that centers around remembering our family the way it was. On the other hand, I have to remember that not all of my family is related to me by blood. And that's really important to understand. So as we're moving forward in discussing the chakra, I want to talk at this level. I want to talk about the yamas and niyamas. I don't really know how to say this one because I don't speak Sanskrit, but it looks like Ishvara Pranidhana, which means let it go, just let it go. Is there an old resentment that you're holding on to for years and years? Why? What is it serving? Let it go. We need to remember that we really are part of a bigger picture. That, you know, like when I sit in a meeting of recovery, it's not all about me. Even if for maybe a few moments it is about me, it really is the overall message that everyone can take with them, not just what I can get out of it. That's where we know we're starting to transcend. When it begins, when we can understand that there's a give and take. So I'll tell you, I got this really confused in my early recovery. So people would say, Sandy, it's not all about you. So I'd go into a meeting and I wouldn't talk. Well, that's not what they were saying either. That's still holding on. But it really is more like allowing the ebb and flow of life, conversation, of relationships. People, sorry, I have to talk about Facebook again. No. People say, well, that person doesn't respond to my post, so I'm going to delete them. That person doesn't talk to me anymore, so I'm going to delete them, right? And I don't understand that because the ebb and flow of life, of conversation, of relationships is an awful lot like trying to stand at the ocean shore and trying to direct that. Just as we can't direct the ocean, We can't direct the ebb and flow of relationships. And so we just allow that to move. And we don't hang, just as I cannot hold the tide in my hand, I equally know I cannot hold on to people. I cannot let them go. I can simply enjoy them for the moment we're together. Part of this niyama translation is to surrender to God. So it really is ultimate spiritual experience. I've told you this before, and I'll say it again. I'm a simple woman, and I work a simple program of recovery. And so I need a very visceral expression of what I am learning. So here's a suggestion for you. Go to a body of water. Go to the ocean. Go to a lake. And stand with your, just allow the water to lap up onto your feet. And just notice how you can be a part of the scene. And you are a gift to the scene. You're just not the whole scene. And when I begin to do that, I begin to raise my consciousness. I begin to notice the person ahead of me in the grocery store that can't afford to pay for their groceries and offer to buy them, not out of my need for them to say thank you, but out of a blessing to the community that none in my community should want. I believe that when we allow our every movement to be about serving the community and being of service, we begin to drop with gluttony. We begin to stop with that whole root chakra way of being. I'm going to share with you something that I find very interesting. In other cities in the United States, and this is just going to be, I'm not going to apologize. It's going to be a very political statement. Many places in the United States, when there is a natural disaster, what is the next thing that happens? Looting, I know. And I'm not talking about riots or political views. I'm talking about natural disasters. What happens? Looting. The people in Nepal, they have a different spiritual experience than many of us do. And what is happening in their community as they're beginning to build and to dig out and to find people? No looting. And people are coming together. They're coming together to help and to help save lives. And notice the difference between this highest level of transcendence and the root chakra level of give me, give me, give me, I deserve. Does anyone stay in transcendence? Nope, that's part of the human experience. Why was Building Blocks of Recovery developed? Because I'll tell you what, I swear to you, some days, one phone call can move me from transcendence right into root chakra. And we never stay in one place. We continually move up and down the spectrum from to the top, from the top to the foundation, and everywhere in between. That, my friend, is called living a full life, and I'm excited to be living it with you. This is Sandy Kozlowski with Building Blocks of Recovery on Blog Talk Radio, and I come to you every Monday afternoon at 3:30 Pacific Standard Time. Thank you to all of my friends who are archiving this episode. Please know that I know that this is an odd time to be hearing me. And I had a guest for a second. Hello, my guest. I'm sorry I missed you. I hope to talk to you next week. Thank you so much for all that you've given to me. And thank you for your continued encouragement. You have a blessed and lovely week. Next week we will have on the app. And I look forward to seeing you on the Amazon.com store. Until then, this is Sandy Kozlowski. Namaste.